Our next guest is Pastor Ivan Yu.
Pastor Ivan Yu is the pastor of the Chinese Christian Church in Greater Albany. He is also a youth pastor at the campus of RPI. He is passionate about making Christianity relevant and accessible for millennials. Ivan Yu is a graduate of RPI, and he received his Master's of Divinity from the Northeast Branch of Mid-American Baptist Seminary in Schenectady. He's currently working on his PhD at Liberty University. Welcome, Pastor Yu.
Thank you very much, Lavanya, for having me on air.
Look, I'm so glad to have you with us today talking about millennials and spirituality and religion and all kinds of stuff. I mean, what do millennials think about religion? Are they faithful people? Are they into religion? What do you think?
Well, as you know, I myself am a young pastor. I'm a millennial as well. And from my observation, yes, there are a level of people who believe in the Bible, but at the same time, like looking at the statistics, really, only 9 out of 10 millennials are not Christians. Mm-hmm. So that's just about 10% that are actually Christians. So it's a very low number.
Mm-hmm. So if they're not following the Christian faith, what are they following?
Well, if they're not following the Christian faith, then I mean, just like with anyone else, they can be open to any other type of religion, or they may be atheists. So it depends on what type of worldview that they have and what influences them.
And how do you make Christianity relevant to these millennials who may not have even been raised with any Christian tradition?
Well, I think basically there is a problem for all humankind, you and I. And we notice that there is evil, there is sin in the world. So no matter what generation you're from, we see that is an issue here in the world. And I believe that in the Bible, that there is a solution to that, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. So that what makes Christianity relevant in that way, because all of us have the same problem.
So when you and I were just talking about you coming on the radio, you were sharing with me this ideal of being authentic, authenticity. What does that mean to millennials? Why is that important?
Yeah, you see, in this generation of millennials, you know, you see all of us looking at our social media, and we are very relational, okay? But when it comes to face-to-face personal relationships, just like you and I, they want something more. They want something that is meaningful. So if you really want to reach out to millennials and share with them about the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to have an intentional relationship. And part of that is that authenticity, so that genuineness. So like, for example, me as a pastor, if I teach one thing or if I preach one thing, but at the same time I don't actually live it out, that would be a little bit hypocritical, and mm-hmm. they don't really like that, as mm-hmm. many other people wouldn't like as well.
I don't know if that's different for other generations. I mean, you know, no one wants a hypocrite. We want people to, live what they preach, basically. But for millennials, you're saying that is really a cornerstone of building a relationship with them.
Yeah, that's part of it. And I think when it comes to Christianity and maybe other religions as well, millennials like to be very, social. Like they want to see change in the world. I think there's research that was done saying that a lot of millennials, they believe that they can have a change in the world and that they can do something. So if they see the church only focusing on like inward problems and not focusing on, let's say, the needs of the community, that has a big factor in it. But if they come and they see a Christian and they see a church that's actually doing something for the community, living out not only what do they preach and having that authentic view of Christianity as well, and that really draws them in.
And that really resonates with me as a millennial also, because I think what a lot of people in our generation see is that not everyone who says they're a Christian acts that way. There is that hypocrisy, and I think that's what a lot of people respond negatively to. What do you do to really live the word of Jesus and promote what you believe are like the best Christian ideals?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me personally, I mean, every day I read and I study the Bible, and at the same time, while I lead the church, There are certain ministries in our church that we do to try to, reach out to the community. Like, for example, I am a pastor of, like, the English-speaking congregation, so mostly of composed of youth and college students. And once in a while, we have these community service projects where we will go to, let's say, the City Mission of Schenectady or the Capital City Rescue Mission to serve a community dinner or help in their factories folding clothes. That's a way that we're giving opportunities for the millennials and those who are younger to live out their faith, which is, I feel, is very important. For Christians who are millennials, I think a lot of times they're discouraged by their church and they often would leave the church because they don't see their church doing anything like that. Or if they want to serve and do something, but then like the leaders in the church will say, why don't you wait your time? Wait till you're a little bit older. Wait till you're a little bit more mature. But, you know, millennials, they want to take action. They want to serve right now. So for those millennials who are already Christian, I think churches can be able to involve them more by allowing them to serve more.
And to really engage in issues that are impacting their community, places where they live.
Yes.
Young people want to see action. I think most young people want to be actively involved. They want, like you say, they want to be involved in something that, I think you're saying, they want to be involved in something that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. I would say so, definitely. So through making a difference, if they're Christians, they can see their faith grow and they can have a close relationship with God. And at the same time, through these opportunities as they are serving, they have the opportunity to build relationships with those people who are hurting and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I am doing this. I am serving you food. I am doing whatever it is because I love you and because God loves you. So that opens up the door, opens up conversations for the gospel.
What do millennials think about the supernatural part of the Bible? You know, there are all these stories in the Bible about giants and walls of Jericho falling down and the Red Sea opening. I think the Passover is coming up towards the end of this month, and that's all about the Jews coming out of Egypt and God opening up the Red Sea and them walking into, the promised land. What do millennials think about all that supernatural stuff in the Bible?
I know, it sounds pretty amazing, but at the same time, from the perspective of people growing up today in the secular world, they'd be like, what is going on here? So, I mean, this is why Christian apologetics is very important. So all the things that you mentioned about in terms of like all the questions they have of the Bible are legitimate, and I think that we should give a good answer to them, especially if I really believe that God is real and I believe that the Bible is true, I should be able to have an answer for all these as well. So for those of you who don't know, apologetics is basically the defense of the Christian faith. You know, mm-hmm. It comes from a Greek word, apologia, from 1 Peter 3:15, which states, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, but yet do it with gentleness and respect. So that word apologia, make a defense. And we're giving people a reason to have faith in Jesus Christ. So we probably don't have enough time to go through all the different questions and parts of the Bible that that people may have a question about, but I see it as very important, especially when it comes to reaching out to millennials.
So do millennials have any questions? Is there one thing that you hear over and over again about either their reading or their understanding or hearing about the Bible?
Usually the questions that they ask are really the same questions that everyone asks as well, regardless of whether they're millennials or not. Like, does God exist? Is there any reason for that? Why is there evil and suffering in the world if God does exist?
Mm-hmm.
And questions about like ethics and morality, like especially from the Old Testament.
So what do you tell them when they say, does God exist? Is God real? What do you say?
Well, I mean, I guess there's a couple ways to go about it. I mean, there's some philosophical arguments for the existence of God. Let's take the argument from morality. You know, everyone in the world, we believe that there is a right and there's a wrong. You know, it's in our hearts, it's in our conscience. But so people say, oh, if you know that there exists evil in the world, then there must exist a good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you know the difference between good and evil? If there exists evil, if there exists good, then there has to be a moral law that defines what is good and what is evil. Now, where does that moral law come from? then it has to come from a moral lawgiver, which we believe is God. Then some people say, oh, well, I believe that I can determine what is right and wrong. But then we live in a world of relativism then. What you think is right may not be right for someone else. But then there is no form of absolute truth then. And if there is no truth, then why are we studying science? Because you know, part of the reason for science is we want to know what is the truth. How does the world work? And you know, because we exist, we know that there exists a truth. That's why there has to be a law that or a truth that applies for all people, no matter who you are, no matter what time period you're in, no matter what background you're from.
And so those are some, I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff. That's some of the stuff that young people want answers to.
Yes. But honestly, from my experience, when it comes to reaching out to millennials, although they may ask that question, really, if you give them a good answer, you may win the argument, but then you forget about winning their heart. That's more important. So which goes back to sort of the appropriate approach towards millennials, which is going back towards the building intentional relationships and having that authenticity. Through that good relationship that you have them, then that invites them to ask those apologetic questions, which you can give an answer to break down those walls that they may have from wanting to hear the gospel in the first place. Because that's where you want to get them to, a point where they ask, okay, I see what you mean. I see that there is a problem and there's sin in the world. What must I do to be saved? Mm. And that gives you that opportunity to share with them about how Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins.
And what would you say to a millennial who likes the ideas, the teachings of Christ and what he puts forth philosophically, but just can't quite pass that barrier to believing in the word-for-word Bible? Personally, I'm just not going to get there. I don't think I could take it literally as the events, because I see, you know, discrepancies in the historical descriptions and things like that. But would you still be welcoming to people who feel that the philosophy that Christ put forward is worth investing in?
Well, of course, I would be welcoming to anyone to look at the Bible and examine the scriptures and the evidence themselves. I'm not going to belittle them, but at the same time, I would appreciate if they also have that open-mindedness and we have started to have that discussion. I mean, when it comes to reading the Bible, I would encourage them actually to start by reading the Gospel of John, because at the end of that book, the Apostle John states the purpose for writing this particular gospel, and it's that so that the readers will know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if that's the whole purpose of why the book is written, then maybe that's a good place to start. And then, I mean, I sort of like give them a reading assignment, and then say, come back in a week. Maybe what question that you have, and let's talk about it.
I like the ideal of you being open to them having the freedom to debate and discuss, because you're not shutting them down. I mean, everybody wants the ability to have an open discussion with someone. I mean, I think that is the sign of relationship, where you can talk, you can disagree, you can agree to disagree, but still have respect for one another and have that relationship. I think that's the foundation of
And put it frankly, all. Even among Christians, we may have those disagreements about the Bible as well, too, on certain issues. But
do you see a big difference? Because you mentioned that the youth groups that you teach with the Chinese Baptist Church, it's very much second generation. Do you find that there's an even bigger generational gap between, you know, the immigrants who came initially and their children?
Yes, of course. So this is so I'm originally from Massachusetts in a suburb north of Boston, and I grew up going to church. I went to the Boston Chinese Evangelical Church, and you know, I grew up in this culture where, yes, you have Chinese immigrants, especially those who are parents, but then you have American-born Chinese who are used to the culture here and growing up, and there are some, I guess, issues that work out. Where was I going at with this?
The difference between the two generations.
Oh, yes. So, like, of course, like, a lot of the parents in those Chinese immigrants will say, oh, You focus more on your studies, and I want you to do well. And they emphasize more on like the strictness and I guess you say more of the law. But although that is important, but according to the Bible, concerning the parenting and all relationships, there's also a level of grace as well. Like even though you sinned, even though you failed, even though you didn't obey God, God can still be able to love you and forgive you. So when it comes to children, they're like, oh, I didn't get that A. I didn't get that 100. Parents can, I believe, should also show a level of grace and say, I still love you and still encourage them. So that's one way to show the gospel in like the parent-child relationship. So I think that's more really important for the Chinese church to learn.
Pastor Yu, is there, with the few minutes we have left, is there anything you definitely want to make sure that the listeners hear from you today?
Well, I think I would like to encourage everyone to look into the Bible. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that over 2,000 years ago, he came to the world to die on a cross for everyone's sins, and he can be your savior as well. So if I really believe that, then wouldn't I want for everyone to know about that? So I encourage people to look into the Bible. I encourage people to come to me and come to any Christian and ask those hard to ask questions, because you deserve good answers for that. You deserve to have reason to have faith in Jesus Christ.
So Pastor, you tell us the name of your church, where you're located, the time of your services, telephone number, anything you want to share with the listeners?
Yes, of course. So again, I'm from the Chinese Christian Church of Greater Albany. We have two congregations, a Chinese congregation and an English congregation. So for our English portion, we have Sunday school starting at 9:30 in the basement, and then that's followed by our English worship service at 11:15. For Chinese speakers, Chinese service starts at 9:30, and their Sunday school starts at 11:15. And you can reach me at the church website at cccga.org, or you can connect with me on my personal website at ivancyu.com. That is ivancyu.com.
Thank you, Pastor Yu, for joining us tonight. And thank you for sharing with us your vision for millennials and their walk of faith. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me here.